Liz Kerenchewitz, star of CT Capital Report, is seen every Wednesday on. Oops, did I lose? I think I lost here.
What's wrong?
Matt, can you hear me? I think my
sister
went
down. No,
you're
here. I got you.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. Unfortunately, I can't hear anything. Anyways, Liz Kerenchewitz, star of CT Capital Report on News 8 every Sunday at 10. Also, Republican political strategist and proud graduate of Northwest Catholic High School joins us. Liz, good morning.
Hey.
How are you?
Hi, Liz.
Good morning. Yes, a very proud Northwest Catholic graduate.
Exactly. And not that many years ago. Certainly far shorter than my graduation.
Mere child.
Now defunct South Catholic.
It feels like forever ago. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're good. Right. We're good. How is stay at home going for the Kerenchewitzes?
Listen, I mean, I think that question is better addressed to my children probably than to me. So,
last night, the Senate held its version of the special session. Four bills passed. As expected, the most debate was about the police accountability bill. Joan Hartley, as she often does, sides with the Republicans. What was your take on the special session as a whole and how they handled the police accountability bill?
I think, as you said, outcome was as expected, and I think Joan coming over on the Republican side also not atypical. And I think what you saw in both chambers was bipartisan concern about a piece of that bill that probably should have gotten more vetting. Right. I mean, the goal of a special session is to have an immediate impact on public policy outcomes. And a lot of the bill takes effect in October. The piece that was the most contentious, which is the qualified immunity piece, doesn't take effect until July of 2021. So we have a year for that piece to take effect, which to me means that for something that got little scrutiny in the process and had the most overwhelming bipartisan concern, we probably would have been better served to have gotten that out of it and had a larger, longer discussion about what it means, what the impact is. Because I think there still remains a lot of questions, both in the mind of law enforcement and in the mind of municipalities and the public as to what the impact actually is. And so I think that's generally my top level takeaway.
Liz, are there any objective standards as to what would basically call a malicious, wanton, or willful act? Can you read somebody's mind?
No. And I think that what they're saying on the advocate side is that this raises Connecticut's state standard to the federal standard. And what they're saying is the standard already exists. In fact, yesterday we saw a lawsuit filed against state police officers using the federal standard with something that happened, an arrest that happened, I think it was on I-84 with a Peter Pan bus driver, right? So police officers are already criminally held responsible. Number one. Number two, there is a standard that allows them to be sued in federal court already. So I think the concern is really that this makes a higher burden on municipalities in terms of financial issues and how do they cover that. And there's concern on the part of police officers of, and I think Senator Fasano raised this in his comments yesterday about, it's in the eye of the beholder potentially, and you may have police officers less inclined to be proactive in preventing issues or policing, and be more reactive, which may not be as safe.
I was surprised that the absentee ballot bill passed 35-1. I thought there'd be a little more opposition from the Republican side. Did you have that same feeling, or were you not surprised at the final margin?
No, I'm not surprised. I think that there's, in generally, people want people to vote, right? And they want them to do that in a safe way. I think I was disappointed that some of the amendments that the Republicans proposed didn't pass, particularly in preventing the mailing of applications by the state. I think we've seen a lot of issues that have arisen from those that mailing that the Secretary of State did out to all active voters on her list. So the fact that we weren't willing to put that into statute that you wouldn't mail those applications out when Democrats, at least in the House from my watching, acknowledged that, that they didn't think that she should do that, but that they weren't willing to put it into statute to prevent it. So that to me didn't really make much sense, that we agree with the policy outcome, but we don't agree with putting it into the bill. But I think people, Republicans, Democrats, people want voters to vote, and they want them to do that in a safe way, both from a public health perspective, right, right. but also from a ballot security perspective.
Yeah. Well, we've had some reports, I guess this morning, the Sunrise Special, I was listening to John doing that. And wasn't there some question as to who's getting these request forms? And I think one was his mother's been dead 12 years
yeah.
or something like that. That could use a little scrutiny, I would think.
A little.
A lot.
Yeah.
Let's go to Stonington.
And I think that's the trouble with that process. And I think this is a unique opportunity for good government reform groups and for voter registrars of voters and town clerks and the Secretary of State's office. That we've never had an opportunity where the state has invested in outreach to voters and getting data back. And what are we doing with that data? And I think that I'm hopeful that good government groups and the press and others will continue to advocate for disclosures of those data and to make sure that the follow-up is happening so that our active voter list is as clean and consistent as possible. That we have a great opportunity. The state is actually investing in better data for our voters lists. Let's clean them up.
Couple more minutes with Liz Garanchowicz, Republican strategist and co-star of CT Capital Report on News Channel 8. Because we're in such a strange time, do you think people are more prone? Do you think more incumbents will hold on to their seats when we go to the polls in November as far as the state House and Senate are concerned, just because it's going to be such a weird year campaigning?
It's so hard to look down the field. I think, yes, incumbents generally will have an easier time because they are a more known quantity, right? And they have that relationship with voters. A lot of times these legislative races, it's knocking doors, it's going to community events, it's interfacing right. with the public and getting those touches, literally those touches with voters. That's really important, particularly at the local and legislative level. So for challengers, it's going to be a great challenge. This year, incumbents usually start on the 50-yard line. I think this year they'll start probably on the 75.
Wow.
Wait. The 75?
In the red zone. Sorry. It's
okay.
Early. It's early.
Seriously?
It's early.
What is this, Canadian football?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, my. I'm embarrassed. Walter Stosi is turning over in his grave right now. But the point is that in this year, I think they do have a significant advantage. And what changes that, though, obviously, are turnout, what happens with turnout, and obviously what's happening at the national level and presidential politics will play a big role in right. what happens here in Connecticut, because everybody's paying attention to things, particularly with the way that our world is right now. So it's really hard to put your finger on the pulse of that, but I do think incumbents have a significant advantage.
Nice dropping of a legendary high school football coach's
Listen,
name, by the way.
Anytime
it was very well done.
I can drop Walt Stosi's name. It's a good day.
Walt Stosi, Charlie Larson, two of the best. Hey, Liz, we got to run. Thanks for joining
Thanks,
us. Stay safe.
Thanks,
we'll visit
guys.
With you again soon.
Sounds good.
All right, Liz Garanchowicz does a great job.